This is the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
On the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Jack Del Rio Show is sponsored in part by Cary Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. I'm hoarse. So, why don't you ask me questions?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Make for some fun radio.
See what I can do.
Welcome to Jack Del Rio Show, ladies and gentlemen. I will be soft tonight. The coach will probably be loud. 800-355-NFL1. 800-355. Why don't you give the number and save me? Spare it a little bit.
That coach ought to give the number. If you're here locally, 355-NFL1. Or along the internet, or anywhere in the country or the world, for that matter, 1-800-355-NFL1.
Okay.
What about his account? His account? He can get tweets.
Oh,
or
at Jack's Voice.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We got to do Twitter.
At Jack's Voice.
So if you're going to be Twitter, it's Twitter at Jag's Voice.
And there we go. Although it's not quite all there tonight. How are you?
I'm good.
Busy couple of days here from a personnel standpoint, and the news this afternoon is that you have been awarded quarterback Trent Edwards off waivers. Thoughts on Edwards, where he fits, what he means, how he impacts the competition at quarterback or improves the level of play there?
Okay. Trent, formerly out of Stanford University, I believe he was the third-round pick.
He was, yeah.
And has started there, I think, close to 30, 32 games. Over the last 3 years. So he comes in with some experience. He's a young guy. He's still fairly young. And we think it's a good opportunity to give ourselves some depth at that position. Obviously, losing Luke McCown prompted us to bring in a guy that had been here before. And and so now we bring another guy in that gives us a little more youth at the position, gives us a little more depth at the position. We'll bring him in and let him learn our system, and then he'll be like anybody else here. He'll fill a role. And as I told him, I called him after we got him on waivers and welcomed him to Jacksonville and told him, your job is to come in here and prepare your butt off and learn our system and embrace the coaching and embrace the players that are part of this team. And then if you're called on, you'll play well and help us win.
I think most people will see it for what it is, adding depth to a position, giving yourself options. There will be some that will think it's a message to David Garrard. Is that fair or unfair, or is it just the way that the life in the NFL is, that if you have a couple of tough games, everything's going to seem like a message?
Yeah, no, I first of all, everything we do is about looking to win games, and so that's it. And from a personnel standpoint, I know that any opportunity we have to upgrade our football team, we're going to look at it, and we feel like this is an opportunity to upgrade.
355-NFL1 is the number if you'd like to join us on the program this evening. Colts in town Sunday. It might be hyperbole on my part, but it's a rivalry game. You have a team that's obviously unhappy with the last 2 weeks. That would seem to be a great point to start your preparation tomorrow, getting ready for them on Sunday.
Yeah,
I
don't think there'll be any problem getting the attention of the team getting ready for the Colts. It's a huge game. This is one of those twofer games. It really almost counts for two. It's a division game. It's a home game, and this is a situation right here where they're a game up on us in the standings. We can even it at 2-2 for each of us, which will put us basically a half game ahead of them. And if for some reason we're not able to get that done, then we would be 2.5 behind them. So this is a huge game in terms of being able to one, knock them down, two, lift ourselves up, and our first opportunity in the division. It's imperative that we play well, and obviously there's a vibe. You can't dismiss. There's a vibe out there that we've got to fight through,
right?
Because it doesn't help. And what all the energy, all the emotion, all the commitment, all the work that we've put in, that's why winning that opener was so important, just to get to feel some validation from all of the all of the work. It's a little fruit for the labor. And so we have not received that the last couple of weeks, and so we're very hungry for that.
Can you get your team into the cave, so to speak, and, as you use the term, circle the wagons, and
right.
avoid that vibe, or is it something that you just can't? Because, you know, with phones and the internet and the world that we live in today, 24-hour news cycle, it's tough to avoid that.
Yeah, no, that's right. It can be. That's going to be the challenge. As men, that's what we have to do. You know, it's not a time for crybabies. It's not a time to sit around and feel sorry for yourself. Certainly not a time to let – just like if you're sitting there and you're on top of the mountain right now because you're 2-1, 3-0, you know, you can't allow the pats on the back to be part of what you allow to influence your preparation. We can't allow a negative vibe to influence our preparation.
Right.
So you've got to ignore the positive, you know, too much criticism or too much undue praise. They're both unhealthy for a football team, and we're going to have to be able to stay focused on the things that will affect our play on the field. That's some of the fine details that are the difference, really, between winning and losing.
All right, we're due for our first break. Let's take it now. We'll return. More to come with the head coach on the Jack Del Rio Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, so rolling right... Yeah, you can tell I got a cold. Rolling right along here with the head coach, Jack Del Rio, 355-NFL1. Colts come to town 2-1, and Peyton Manning's thrown 9 touchdowns and no interceptions. What's changed for him? The same old guy. Does the same things. So here's what I'd like to ask you during Colts week. You know what it takes to stop him. I mean, it's not really that complicated, is it? It's a matter of actually...
Well, it's not as complicated as it is difficult to get done.
Yeah.
No, the fact is they're not as complex as a lot of offenses. I mean, they just do what they do very well, and you know they're gonna basically be in a couple of different personnel groupings. You know, they like 2 tight ends, 2 wide receivers and a back, or they like 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end and 1 back, and that's what you're gonna get the majority of the game, and then they come at you with basic plays that they operate with extreme precision. And And that's where, you know, Peyton is one of the best, if not the best, in terms of putting his offense in good plays at the line of scrimmage.
The guy who was the Jaguar killer last year that made the big play was 44, Dallas Clark. I mean, he's so tough to cover.
Mm-hmm.
He's tough for a linebacker. He's tough for a safety. He's the guy that seems to be the safety valve.
Well, he's definitely, you know, been a good player for a long time for him, and Peyton definitely has eyes for him. I think, you know, Colley has emerged as a guy. I think he's got 24 catches on the year in the first 3 games.
27
in the first 3 games. So I mean, he's off to a big start. And you know, Reggie Wayne obviously continues to be a premier player in the league, and Dallas Clark. So they've got some weapons.
Yeah, they sure do. And of course, it's all orchestrated by Mr. Manning. So let's grab a couple phone calls here. Let's start with Dave in St. Augustine. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Really just wanted to voice a little bit of support, Coach. I know that a lot of the vocals maybe aren't as level-headed about things going on. I think there are a lot of fans of the Jaguars who know teams are going to hit, you know, their share of ups and downs. You know, it's just 2 games on a negative slide. We go in and we win this game, and, you know, we're 2-2, and things are looking real good for us, you know. I'd like to see us play better. I'd like to see us continue to improve because, you know, there have been bright spots going on in these games. We just got to put a whole game together and play a little bit better. But it's not all doom, especially down here in St. Augustine Beach. So let's make this a 2 chin strap game, Coach. You know, let's take it to them and let's win this one. I think we can do it. I know we can do it. I hope we will do it. Good luck this weekend. Go Jaguars.
All right. Outstanding, David. I appreciate the call. Appreciate the support. And I'll be honest with you, the fans like David much outweigh the negative people that are out there. And look, I understand some people get their feelings hurt and they don't know how to respond.
Right.
And so they want to blame and they want to criticize and they want to beat down. But I appreciate David's approach, appreciate his call. And I assure you that we are going to give everything we have to this effort, and that our guys are extremely motivated. I mean, that's why I said, you know, I thought Vito very accurately reflected how I feel in the article that was written today in the Times Union. Very accurately. That's how I feel. Those comments were exactly as I see it and exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to continue to bring the passion, the love for this game and this group of men that I'm coaching. I really do enjoy working with them. I mean, it's a very energetic group that is eager to come to work every day. And all we need is a spark. All we need is that spark and to get going in a positive way.
So you're not changing the way that you do things. I mean, that would be the tendency for most people who are listening to say, well, you got to change something, Coach, because the last 2 weeks haven't worked. Doesn't sound like, according to the article and what you're talking about, that that's your approach.
Well, I mean, anybody that's followed this game, that would be like asking, I mean, go back and think about when we drilled the Colts here one day.
2006.
In 2006. And Tony Dungy came out the day after, and they wanted to, what were we going to change? And Tony said, nothing. We're going to do the things we do. We're going to do them better. And that's where we are as a football team.
And by the way, those comments helped his team, and they won the Super Bowl that year. And the defense led the way in the playoffs. Yeah.
If you believe in what you're doing, and I do, and then you just look to do them better. And that's where we're at right now. And so belly aching about it, all those types of things, that doesn't fix it. It doesn't fix anything. It may temporarily make somebody out there feel a little bit better, but it's not going to help the Jaguars. It's not going to help our 2010 Jaguars. We are here busting our tails every day, and we care very much about the product we put on the field. And we can use all the support we can get. And so we very much appreciate those that are out there that would be inclined to continue to support, despite it being difficult. Because I know when it's disappointing, it is difficult.
Oh, yeah.
So we appreciate those that continue to do that.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you'd like to join us on the program, we go to Brooklyn, New York, where John is standing by. John, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing well, John. How are you tonight?
Good. Big Jaguars fan from New York. I came down to the game on Sunday, and God, I was quite disappointed, but I'm still a big supporter. And I just have one question.
Okay.
Can you pinpoint one thing that's that's most wrong with Jaguars or their struggles?
Well, I think, I would say one thing on offense and one thing on defense. And for me, the one thing on defense is pretty clear. I think allowing balls to go over the top of us defensively. That's just the one thing you cannot do. I mean, we've really, you know, we're stopping the run well, and it'll only get better. And we're actually getting off the field on third and short. We gave up third and 19, third and 16, third and 14 in that ball game on Sunday where we've got them dead to rights. I mean, those are 85, 90% efficiencies, you know, across the league on those down and distances. We let them off the hook. So that's where we broke down defensively. You know, offensively, we didn't throw it. We did not throw it and catch it well enough. Our passing game was below average. I mean, it was very, very poor, and we're going to have to throw it and catch it better than that. Those are the two areas right there. And look, I see reason for optimism where others may not. And all I can tell you is, John, I appreciate you coming down and being a fan that'll travel that far to come watch us play. And we will have better days.
You bring Gerald Alexander back. He was a guy that made some plays for you last year. Remember the Houston game in particular where he intercepted that pass down there. What can he bring to the table in his first week back in general? And if you have him and Anthony Smith, who we know can play, do you fix that problem at safety over the top with those two guys?
Well, Anthony's had a little issue with his foot, and that's why he's not been available the last couple of weeks.
Right.
And Gerald was brought back because, you know, at the safety position, you know, we need a quarterback-type guy back there. Sean's a little banged up this week. You know, we'll find out whether or not we'll have him available. So there's a little question about, you know, those are two of our veteran safeties back there that are banged up. And really, you know, Courtney and Tyrone are primarily special teams guys that can play in a backup role, but they're primarily special teams guys. So we needed to bring Gerald back. We need the wisdom that he brings as a veteran that understands how to get us in the right alignments and really and be there in case Sean can't go. That's really the biggest thing is if Sean can't make it, Jerry will be able to help us out.
Seems so, like he'd be a motivated guy, too, after being on the street for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that'll certainly
get your attention.
He had a
bad game in the preseason.
Yeah, no, he didn't have a real good preseason, but he did play well last year at times for us, and we welcome him back and are glad to be able to bring him back into the fold.
All right, we need a break. We'll take it now. Come back with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
And welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Pardon my voice this evening. I have a cold, so I'm going to get to the calls. You do most
some
of the talking.
Or
I'm working on that. What's it called, Joe? After we get off the show?
Thoraceptic or something. Some type of spray.
I was thinking more like a toddy, but we'll move on. Joe's in Green Cove. Hello, Joe. Save me.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? Get well, Brian.
I will. Feel
Coach,
great.
Good luck,
sound
man.
Terrible.
Keep your head up. We got your back.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate
but,
that. What's
I
on
really
your mind?
Think, you know, I really think to find a true character of a person is to see how you respond when you're down. And that brings my topic up of Pot Roast. I mean, it seems like he was just unblockable last week.
I think that's a great observation, and you're on the money with it, Joe. You know, he had really kind of come out of the gate a little flat in the first two games. Had not really been the guy that we had come to appreciate and really love last year with what he brought us. And he came right back out this past week and righted it. And
he's
and
a beast.
So we need more efforts like that because Terrence played very well for us. It was very disruptive. And at times unblockable, and that is the type of impact we need, and we're going to need a spark like that from a few more, and then all of a sudden we'll start having a little more fun.
When you get a quarterback like Peyton who stays in the pocket, if you can collapse the pocket with a guy like Terrence Knighton, boy, that really changes things.
Sure,
doesn't it?
Does absolutely. Yeah, no, you've got to do everything you can to disrupt that pocket and not allow Peyton to be comfortable back there. So great to see. Appreciate the call, Joe, and great to see Terrence back on track this week.
355 NFL 1. Let's grab Matt in Orlando. Matt, you're up next. Good evening. Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. You're on with the head coach.
Good. I was calling about the Trent Edward pickup. I'm a big Bills fan. And I think even over the time, I've become a bigger Trent Edwards fan. So pretty excited about you guys picking him up. I think he's a great quarterback. I think he's a system quarterback that can't deal with the chaos in Buffalo. With some of the offensive line and all that kind of stuff. And I wouldn't expect you guys to, you know, comment or be disparaging about that. But I think the guy's smart and in the right place where he's not scrambling. He's got the right stuff to really help you guys out.
We'll put you down for a couple of tickets for Sunday.
Too, but, you know, I think that there'll be a time where he'll really help your team out. And I'm more of a Trent Edwards fan now that I'm probably a Bills fan because I'm looking for the guy to do good things. I think he's put in some bad situations. So I hope you can tell us a little about that, the coach. And, you know, he put it on you guys actually 2 years ago, and then they benched him for the game last year, right?
Yep. Yes. No, that's right, Matt. Appreciate the call. Obviously, it sounded like you were busy maybe babysitting.
Yeah, we need the noise. Bring him on Sunday.
No, that was great. We appreciate the call. And yeah, no Trent has had some moments in the league where he's played very well, and they have had some issues in their line, and they've been addressing that. You know, we had we played against them last year. They had the real bad injury with an offensive lineman. I believe his name was Wood.
Oh yeah, their guard.
Yeah,
played from Virginia. Eric Wood
or Louisville.
Oh, you're right.
We had him in the Senior Bowl, so I remember him. But anyway, great kid. But he had a real serious injury. In fact, he did not go back with the team. He had to stay over, but. You know, they've had some injuries they've had to fight through with their offensive line. And so I think we have a little bit healthier, better situation with our line here. That should certainly benefit him. But I think really, you know, anytime a player, it doesn't work out for him, I think he's really just looking for a fresh start. And that's what he'll get here in Jacksonville, get an opportunity to get a fresh start, learn our system and fit in. And then you know, if he's called upon, he'll be able to assume his role and do a good job for us.
Phone lines are lighting up. Let's grab John in Green Cove Springs next. Hello, John. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Coach?
Good. Hey, John, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm a big supporter. I believe in you, and I believe in this team. Also, last night, Vic Ketchman asked Gene about Derek Cox maybe going to safety. And Gene kind of like, well, that wasn't really the plan. But what I was also wondering is if not, what about David Jones maybe going back there?
Well, John, first of all, appreciate the call, and you've got to be a big fan to be able to understand and talk about those things. I think that's great. So let me share a little bit with you. I think, first of all, David Jones has done a nice job outside at corner for us, and he was improperly credited with two big plays being his in the game. He had one in tight man coverage that he was close on, and the guy made a good play on in the ball game. The other was not his. The safety had to get over the top of him. So. He did give up one play in his past week. Derek is a kid that is big enough to move into safety and strong enough. We still, you know, it's hard to find corners.
Big ones especially.
And he can play corner. And so Derek Cox has been working the last couple of weeks. We decided to put him down after he struggled in the opener. And he's really, you know, worked well in finding his rhythm again, and he's going to help us this year, as I said when we first made the move, that, you know, we love him. We just feel this is best for him and his development, and he has gone in and worked and is coming back, and I think that he'll be back out there helping us shortly. And so I do appreciate the call, but I don't think he's going to be moving to safety. We did move Don Carey to safety. And Don Carey has been working with the safeties, and okay. He did play in the ball game against Philadelphia on Sunday at safety. And so he has become a guy that has moved over and learning safety, and so he has now value as a guy that can play both positions. And but at this point, Derek Cox is remaining at right corner for us.
Appreciate the call, John. We need a break. Back with more after this from the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio. Joe, you got to do this for me. Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio show. Save me. James is in Orlando. James, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Called last week. Coach, sorry about the loss, but we're still with you, brother. We're still there.
I appreciate that. What's on your mind tonight, James?
You look at the Bears, you look at some of these other teams where they really get their star running back involved in the passing game. Why doesn't MJD get more involved in the passing game? I see you're doing it with Rashad, but I feel like, you know, Maurice is just a more dynamic player. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think first of all, we do have our backs featured, you know, not only in running plays, but in the passing game. And, you know, I think there have been times when Rashad has been in for Maurice and get some of those plays. I mean, I our running backs, we think that both of those young men have the ability to not only run the ball, but get it out of the backfield and put it in their hands and let them mismatch some linebackers and safeties. And so we look to do that. I the productivity that we've had from Rashad has been outstanding. I mean, it's not that unless it's a fantasy number thing that you're asking, I don't really see where it's a problem, with Rashad getting some time. I think, you know, MJD is a good football player. He's a great football player that needs to get his touches, but he's getting his touches. And so what we want to do is make sure that we get Rashad touches as well, and that as a football team, as an offense, that we utilize the strength that we have. And we think they're both outstanding. We think Rashad, you know, needs to touch the ball. Right. And so, you know, now if Maurice wasn't getting the ball enough, then that would be a valid point. But I think, you know, we're looking to get them both involved.
He's averaging 21 touches a game the first three games.
Yeah, which is
right about where you'd like him to be.
Which is pretty solid, yeah.
Jennings is a guy that really shows promise.
And that's without possessing the ball. I mean, we didn't possess it much.
In San Diego
or really last week. I mean, you know, if you're not possessing it, I mean, there are more opportunities as you possess it more.
Sure. Jennings is a guy, though, that – at least it looks like Coach has special hands. He's a guy that can really be a hell of a receiver out of the backfield.
He's really developed into a fine football player.
Yeah.
You know, he's blocked a punt. He's been explosive when he gets the ball in his hands. I mean, he's really playing well. And so I think it's a great compliment. You know, when Fred Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew were at their best, you know, in 07, it was because we had a capable guy in Maurice behind a very talented guy in Fred.
Right.
It was a great combination. And I'm not saying we've approached that level yet, but we feel better about having a real capable backup like Rashad. Where last year at this time, we were kind of hoping he would develop, and we were really kind of hanging out there a little bit light at that spot, you know, while he was developing.
Right.
We feel now we have legitimate 1-2 shot, 1-2 punch.
Jaguars and Colts, Sunday 4:05 kickoff across the network, and we'll start with our pregame show at 1 o'clock. And let's take a break, and we'll continue on with the Jack Del Rio Show.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Bobby in Neptune Beach is up next. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Joe. Hello?
Is this Bobby?
Hey, Bobby, you're on the air.
Hey, listen, this is Bill from the South Side.
Bill.
I made a mistake. The man is John Matthews that I wanted to talk about.
Okay. Appreciate the phone call. Let's grab
am I on over here? All right. You can hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, a little technical difficulty there. Okay, so the guy that called who didn't get through wanted to hear about John Matthews. And John Matthews is on our practice squad.
Right.
And he had a nice preseason for us, and he's a developing young player. And I don't know what else he might have wanted to know about John Matthews, but that's the story on John. He's working his tail off every day, doing a nice job for us, all right, and developing.
Appreciate the phone call.
Let's take that call with Alan.
All right. Alan is up next. Alan, how are you tonight?
I'm okay. What I was going to say is that game that on Sunday had, you know, and including myself, it had everybody just piping mad hot. And I had one of my friends have the comment of, I'm not going to buy any tickets if this is how they're going to play. And I reminded them, you know, if you don't buy tickets, we'll never have the chance to get better. We'll never have the chance to make, you know, have the money to buy the personnel we need. And I think that more people to stick with them. I mean, I know that y'all know that that wasn't acceptable and that y'all are going to address that. And I just wanted to show my support.
I appreciate that very much, Alan. Let me give you a story, Alan, that might help you. Talk about support no matter what. All right. Again, sometimes people just want to dismiss it. But let me just say the story one more time. It's Baltimore 2000. We're in week 7, and we're 3-4, and we just lost a game. And so we're now 3-4 in a year, and we have gone 5 straight weeks without even scoring an offensive touchdown. Okay, you talk about...
Came in here and won with 5 field goals.
But I'm just saying, you talk about, like, being at a low spot. You go 5 weeks without scoring an offensive touchdown as a football team. You know... I thought Brian Bilk did a great job at that time keeping the offense and the defense, you know, the defense from killing the offense. All right. And but so you talk about support no matter what. It's support because you're a fan, because you love the football team. And that the reason you feel that pain and that anger is because you care so much. And that's a great thing, Alan. And that, believe me, we appreciate that. We need that. Okay. And believe me when I tell you that we care. The players and coaches care very much. We're putting our entire heart, soul, everything we have into this process, into winning and losing, the time that we spend. So support because it's important to you. Support because we're your team. And it's not blind. It's not like you don't see things that are wrong. Believe me, we do.
Right.
And their corrections are being made. And challenges are being put forth. But I guess what I'm saying to you is I applaud the fact that there is support. We need it. And you just don't know what's going to spark a team and when they're going to take off. And I love Justin Smiley's comment today because he talked about the Dolphins. And I think they were 1-2 when they went to New England. And he said they got a spark. They played the Wildcat and they went off and they won the game.
Right.
And that's what sparked their year. And he said, hey, I want to be the spark. So, I mean, he's looking to be our spark. So, I mean, hey, all we need is a spark, and then this thing takes off, and we start having more fun. So, as a fan out there, hang in there.
Thanks for the call, Alan. Let's get Bobby, who now joins us from the beach. Hello, Bobby. Hello, Bobby.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Okay. Hey, Coach.
Hey, Bobby, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, I'm an old lineman, so I tend to watch what goes on in the trenches.
Yes.
Instead of the spectacular stuff. It seemed to me that old Eugene Monroe got his lunch eaten all day long. And, you know, sometimes if I wasn't exactly watching him, I would see Gerard with the people hanging all over him, and I'd rewind it, and I'd look back at Eugene, and doggone, sometimes he wasn't even looking at a man running by him. And I'm thinking, now all these people are running a Gerard down, but it's hard to be a good quarterback when you got defensive ends and tackles hanging all over you and chasing you sideways. I don't know. It just am I the only one that sees that?
No, I think what you're referring to, I think there were a couple examples, and I was talking off the air with Brian about this. There was he was sacked six times on Sunday, and there were at least two examples, one with Eben and one with Eugene, where the defensive lineman physically beat the offensive lineman. I mean, physically beat the offensive tackle and sacked David. And then there were some times when we had, you know, blitzes coming from Philly that were unblockable, where there's a hot receiver that, you know, the ball's got to come out of the quarterback's hand. And we did not execute that. So, you know, it's sometimes when you see people running by, those people are not going to be blocked in our system, and because they're bringing more than you can block. And so you have to get rid of the ball, and you need to get it out on time and not take the hit. And so that's where we broke down a little bit. I think, you know, both the protection and the ability of the quarterback to recognize when he doesn't have protection and for him to get rid of it, we're both at fault. And those are things that we've got to fix. And we've got a short time because there's a heck of a pass rush coming here in Indianapolis on Sunday.
Freddie and Mathis. We need another break. We'll take it now. Back with more after this from the Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, here we go. More to come. Jack Del Rio Show. I obviously do not have my voice this evening, so we're going to go to Anthony in San Diego. Anthony, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Coach. Voice is great to be on. I was just calling to wish my unwavering support for the team, regardless of what's going on. I think it's way too early in the season for the reaction to be the way it is. In 2007, we started off with the same record and ended up finishing 11-5. I say 12-4 because we gave away a free victory to the Houston Texans, and we went on to have a great season. I know the hours that you guys put in, having played college football myself, and I know that you guys work hard, and I wish you my unwavering support, and go Jags.
All right. Well, thank you, Anthony. I appreciate that. That's a nice thing to say, and I appreciate your support from out there in California on the West Coast there.
And we go to the West Coast of Jacksonville, the West Side. Brian standing by. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Coach. Hey, I just wanted to kind of maybe ring your bell a little bit about one of the things that really irritates me, and I've said it time and time again, going.
Hello?
Oh, come on.
So call back, Brian, and we'll get that question.
You can hear, folks.
Call back, and we'll get that question if you can hear us out there, because I'd love to hear what he's talking about.
His question
had to do with clock management.
Screen says, yeah, clock management, but we didn't quite get that far with him. So let's talk a little bit about, since we're talking about your offensive line and those two tackles that didn't play quite as well on Sunday against the Eagles. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they played pretty well against the Broncos, and even in the loss in San Diego, the strength of your team seems to be those two tackles.
We've got a good group. We've got a good offensive line, and that is the strength of our football team. We were singing the praises of Eugene and showing a couple of the great finishes that he had, you know, on the TV show.
Right.
So Eugene has played very well. He's had a good camp, he's come in, and he's had a good start to his season. And I know that he'll have a good year.
And he gets Freeney this week. I mean, I'm eager to see
what
him
a challenge, huh?
Against the best this year. Freeney and Mario Williams and, you know, some of the great pass rushers that you're going to see. I'm eager to see how he is in year two.
As a left tackle, that's what you're here for. You know, is to block those guys and be matched up against those guys. So that will be fun to watch.
All right, Brian from the West Side is back with us. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey guys, sorry about that. I just got a joke cell phone.
No problem. So what's on your mind, Brian?
Well, like last week, all right, coming into the last few seconds of the first half, you know, and I've seen it over and over again, and I know you, at that point you're probably anxious to get in the locker room and yell at them, but I can't understand sitting on two timeouts and 10 seconds on the clock. Why we don't throw it up for a good pass play and maybe get Scobie in range for a field goal? I mean, if we got nothing else, we got to have a kicker.
Okay, that's a fair question, Brian. Let me answer that for you. I think there's a great and in today's world, I think you can probably find it. Go watch the Redskins Cowboys game where there were 4 seconds left in the half, and rather than just take a knee, they actually handed it off, and the running back got about 10 yards, and then he fumbled for a fumbled return for a touchdown, which actually gave the Redskins the winning points in the ball game. I mean, they went in at the end of the half. They weren't going anywhere. They got 10 meaningless yards, and they gave up a touchdown going the other way. And so that's why I choose to do it. Coaches can do whatever they'd like to do. Certainly, if you've got enough time and you think you can strike down the field a little bit and call timeout and get a field goal up, you know, we've definitely tried that. Last year we had 4 long field goals at the end of the first half that we tried, didn't hit any of them, but we tried them. And so I'm not opposed to doing that, Brian. But, again, you have to know where you are on the field. We're sitting on our own 20. There are 4 or 5 seconds left in the half. You're not going anywhere. You're not going 80 yards, and you're more prone to have a big mistake, some kind of turnover to end the half. So that's why you don't do it.
Final break. Come back with more on Jaguars Radio. All right, we are about out of time, which is good for me since I'm losing this thing. Anything we didn't cover that you think we should? I'm looking at my chart here.
That's up to you, voice.
Well, how about their running game? Adai and Donald Brown. It's a nice 1-2 combination, it would seem.
They've got talent. They've got talent. They don't choose to run it as much because they have Peyton Manning.
But boy, they ran it that Sunday night game. We get to see it when we were coming back from San Diego.
Against the Giants.
Yeah,
they ran it. They ran it against the Giants. They caught the Giants a few times in small personnel and just pounded them.
So what's – you know Manning. You've played him well. He's got a better record, but you've played him well.
Yeah, I don't like the playing him well part.
All right.
I don't like the playing him well but okay. part.
Well, you knew that was coming.
We have played them well quite a bit. I think the thing that has been – kind of a thorn in our side is that he's left the game with a completely clean uniform far too often.
He does that.
I mean, he's
it was a great game last December. It's a great game last December.
That was a great game.
Great game. Hope we get one of those on Sunday.
Well, I hope we get the offensive production that we got in that game and a little more defense.
All right, Coach, thanks for your time tonight. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, Brian.
Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.